Hi, I'm Paul Marinelli, and it's great to be speaking to you across the Talk to Motive platform, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Welcome to 2023, and to being back together again, and in person, the way it should always be. 2022 saw conferences, launch events, trade shows, exhibitions, motorsport events, and general major sporting events all get back into full swing all over the world, and we attended in droves. Even with all manner of special COVID-19 travel requirements and hassles and never-ending documentation, nothing could stop us from getting back together in very, very big numbers. One of the largest examples of this was the return of the world's biggest automotive aftermarket trade fair, Automechanica Frankfurt, in September. A total of 78,000 visitors from 175 countries visited this mammoth event to personally view products and services from 2,804 companies exhibiting from a total of 70 countries across no fewer than 19 expo hall levels and outdoor exhibition areas. It was truly extraordinary. A total of 350 separate training and open discussion events were also conducted over the Automechanica Frankfurt Week. This had never been done before at this major automotive aftermarket industry event, and it was a sign of the changes that have been made and needed to be made from the pandemic lockdown. How about the success of both the Apex and SEMA shows in the USA last November? Apex 2022 drew approximately 45,550 qualified buyers from 121 countries. Extraordinary stuff. More than 126,000 industry professionals from all over the world were in Las Vegas for both the Apex, on the trade side of the business, of course, and the SEMA shows, more on your consumer performance side of the business, which, of course, are held concurrently. The Apex show floor featured new product and technology displays from 1,407 exhibiting companies from 35 countries, occupying a total of 3,467 booths. This attendance was equivalent to 94% of pre-pandemic attendance levels. But when you factor in no Russian and very limited Chinese-based attendees or exhibitors, this was an extraordinary result. The same applies for Automechanica, of course. The SEMA show featured more than 1,900 exhibiting companies and almost 65,000 qualified buyers. So what's behind all of this post-pandemic success, or event success, I should say? I think that Peter Wagner, Continental Aftermarket Managing Director, summed it up best of all when he stated, "Even in an increasingly digital world, everything comes down to people. Speaking to someone in person, visiting a stand, making your way through the exhibition halls, even shaking hands. None of these things can be replaced." And I couldn't agree with Peter more. He is 120% right. Virtual expos, online meetings, they're just not the same for one very simple and vital fact. We simply cannot change human nature. You can try, but you'll never change it. Have a think about this. The feeling or the vibe that we get when we meet other people. People love people, no matter which way you want to turn it or twist it or say that it isn't true. You know, which are the highest selling newspapers and magazines and TV programs? The people programs, the reality programs, all that sort of stuff that is about people. People love people. And so that feeling or that vibe when we meet others, good and bad, is something that cannot be replaced or engineered or done online. The comfort we feel also when meeting people personally who we may possibly be doing business with. That's a very important factor. You know, many people say that option of doing business together is something that is decided upon within virtually the first few minutes of meeting somebody. Now, of course, you need details on the products and pricing and supply and all the rest of it, of course. But the idea of, do I feel comfortable in dealing with this person, that's generally done as soon as you first meet. And also seeing products and processes, of course, for yourself, you know, right in front of you, displayed in a big area where you can see what's going on and what it's all about and the quality of the actual product. Sadly, as much as that can be videoed and can be put online and whatever else, until you see it with your own eyes, you're not 100% convinced, well, generally not. Interestingly too, because of the pandemic lockdowns, people were generally interested in seeing people again. I've seen this from my own experiences and my own travels to China. As soon as we're allowed to be to travel from here in Australia, which I think wasn't until around August, September, and we got out there again, it was incredible. After the world's longest lockdown here in Melbourne, which went for over 2 years, we got out there again, and I couldn't believe people from the hotels and the restaurants, the expos, the exhibitions, the events, the motorsport events, just people being genuinely happy to see people again. I think the pandemic lockdowns had a huge effect, as we all know, but on business, but it had a huge effect also on people and people's relationships with other people, and how much they miss that, and not to mention the business that comes with tourism and international business and so forth. So people did make you feel more welcome, valued and appreciated for taking part in trade shows, expos, sporting events, Grand Prix, you name it. The feeling I got was a feeling of a far more open-armed welcome both throughout Europe and the United States and Asia during my visits towards the second half of 2022 to get to see events and go to trade shows and so forth. It was completely different to the way it had been in the past, far more welcoming. So whichever way you look at it, nothing beats being face-to-face again as a global automotive aftermarket community, and long may it stay that way. We don't like being forced apart. It's very, very clear. One great thing to fall out of the pandemic in the Australian automotive aftermarket industry was our improved customer service and care that resulted from it. I was really, truly blown away by what has happened and the improvements that have been made as a direct result of pandemic lockdowns and the changes that needed to be made to support customers. While many industries were doing anything that they could to reduce the level of customer service and the cost of providing such services during that period, the automotive aftermarket continued to lead the way, particularly here in Australia. Being based in this country, you don't need me to tell you how far away we are from the rest of the world. Supply logistics within our own huge country can be difficult enough without the headaches of global supply issues. So these supply chain issues brought on and still being felt in markets such as ours saw Australian-based auto aftermarket companies come to the fore, absorbing the huge costs of air freighting stock to Australia to ensure their workshops, or garages as you call them in Europe, or jobbers as you call them in the States, had the parts that they needed when they needed them. No excuses and no extra cost in most cases. Finding solutions to support customers during the pandemic has led to continued strong customer service, the likes of which are unparalleled in other industries, in my opinion. Deliveries within 30 minutes, up to 15 to 20 visits per day for many workshop customers here. More local stock holdings so that workshops and garages and jobbers don't need to spend their money on inventory. There has been improvement upon improvement in this country that has continued long after the major pandemic lockdown period. Making customers feel appreciated and supported when the chips are down or when they are incredibly busy and need to be helped is something that every industry can benefit from. And the Australian automotive aftermarket's success during these dark years is a classic example of how this has been done extremely well. Let's compare the auto aftermarket in Australia to our airlines and perhaps some international airlines too. What they have done is tripled their prices, reduced the number of seats available, deliberately not added extra aircraft to not get that price down, that costs down, because they've never seen such load factors. They've never seen such profit margins. You've got people paying first-class prices to travel in business class in generally what is really a second-rate product compared to the very upper end of an aircraft. You've got airlines pulling first-class seats out of aeroplanes to sell more triple-priced business class seats. It's a ridiculous situation. And no matter what, the competition watchdogs here in Australia seem to think it's all okay, and around the world it just keeps happening, and slowly but surely the costs will come down. But what they did was take advantage of a very, very difficult situation. And they'll tell you they haven't got staff and they can't do this and it's because of this and it's because of that. At the end of the day, it's all about making money, and I think it's been a shining example of how not to conduct business after such a difficult time for people. But we're the ones paying the costs and getting on those planes and flying them because we're so desperate to travel again. And this is what they're banking on. So anyway, that just shows you the absolute other corollary to what I'm talking about, the absolute other opposite end of how things improved or how things have been taken advantage of and still do to this day when it comes to the airlines. Before wrapping this up, I'd like to pay tribute to someone the world has sadly recently lost, Ken Block. And I'd like to share some words about him and expand upon them, as written by Stephen Otley at Talk Cafe. I was privileged enough to see him in action here in Australia, doing his magic behind the wheel of one of our 800 horsepower V8 supercars, along with one of his mad 650 horsepower Ford Fiestas. Aside from his amazing driving and racing skill, Block managed to redefine car culture at a time when people, especially younger people, were drifting away from cars and more towards technology. He basically changed the definition of the word hoon. He even called himself a hoonigan and created a global brand around the word, changing its context from a low negative to a major positive when it comes to driving cars, aligning performance car driving with absolute skill rather than just doing burnouts that anyone can do, and quite frankly get boring after you've seen them time and time again. He even managed to change the way that major car manufacturers looked at promoting their cars, after these manufacturers had told us for years that young people weren't interested in cars because they preferred smartphones and computers. Hence why we have seen several new vehicle design abominations from major manufacturers, providing the vast choice of SUV, SUV, or SUV, or maybe a four-wheel drive SUV, as they directed their marketing focus away from younger drivers and more towards families and retirees. The manufacturers claimed that young people's desire for their cars just wasn't the same as it was for the previous generations. Block proved this theory completely wrong. It was all about achieving cut-through to make the new generation pay attention and be excited about cars, something the manufacturers clearly were not capable of doing. Block did this by speaking to them where they lived, on smartphones and computers. He made cars cool on the internet and in computer games. He made cars cool by doing fun stuff with them rather than just focusing on pages of boring specifications and statistics. He drove these cars with flair and total skill, really showing what these cars could do, making his fans love him and his cars even more, introducing a whole new generation of car enthusiasts and, more importantly, customers to the global auto industry and the ever-growing high-performance aftermarket parts and tuner industries around the world. Our industry needs more people to follow in the brilliant trails that Ken Block has blazed. Always well-presented, respectful and good fun, with the unique ability to talk to new generations in the exact language that they best understand. My sincere condolences to all of Ken's family and his millions of friends and followers from all over the world. Thanks for listening, and please enjoy the vast array of industry expert opinions that are available to you on this new and exciting Talk to Motive platform. I'm Paul Marinelli, Managing Director of Marinelli PR, Marinelli Motorsport Media, from the city of Melbourne, Australia, and it's been a pleasure being with you. You can visit my company online at marinellipr.com.au or via my LinkedIn and Facebook social media channels.